Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And I'm glad that you're here because we got Jack Oldrick back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Jack is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know. He's a futurist, and he looks at things that are happening, he thinks are happening in the future, or things that are happening, I should say, right now, and sees how that's going to impact us in the future. He's the author of so many books. I hurt myself carrying them to the studio. The Next Big Thing Is Really Small is one of my favorites of his. Also, Jump the Curve, 50 Essential Strategies to Help Your Company Stay Ahead of Emerging Technologies, and other books, including a couple of history books. He's our good friend, Jack Oldrick. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. You know, I always worry about your predictions, Jack, because, you know, I do predictions, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, for the last several years, I do a forecast of what I think is going to happen in the coming year. But I do something a little different, Jack. Of course, most of my stuff is market based stuff. I'm not as smart as you are, so I don't do a lot of technology forecasting. And I'm not a futurist, but I do look into what I think is going to happen in the coming year with regard to the small business, the marketplace, public policy impacting them. But another thing that I do is the week before I post my and publish my forecasts, I go back and reevaluate what I predicted and give myself a score.
Yep, I think that that's really important, and I do the same thing. This is the first time I've done a formal list like that, you absolutely have to go back.
Otherwise, you got no credibility if you're not willing to go back and call shine the light on what you thought. And so far, my track record's about 75%.
Really? That's,
yeah.
That's outstanding. I hope that this first list I'll be able to achieve a score somewhere close to
that.
Well,
I'm glad you're going to come back. And I'll tell you what, you and I will do this. You and I will come back a year from now, and we'll go over your list if you want to.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah, I think we should.
I mean, futurists have to be held accountable. I mean, it's one of these professions where few people go back and actually do hold you accountable for what you said. So
let's
welcome that opportunity.
Let's talk about these things. These are 2010 technology forecasts. But they're not just technology. They're also, you're forecasting, some of these, you're forecasting how you think we're going to behave around that technology.
That's right, because I think that's one of the things that most futurists don't do, is they simply make predictions based on the technology without understanding that they're going to take place in a marketplace, in a politically regulated environment, and of course there's just the whole nature of human behavior.
And the application, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, the first one is all about a future car.
That's right, and I think the big thing here is that the car of the future is going to be hyper-connected to the Internet. And so in the future, many of the television ads, instead of talking about the performance, the horsepower of a car's engine and its speed and things like that, it's actually going to start talking more about how the car is going to help you stay connected to the Internet while you're driving, how it's going to help you access information while you're on the road, and in many cases start displaying that information directly onto your windshield and just make the car more connected.
In a heads-up display like the fighter pilots have, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I have a car that's got OnStar, and it's got turn-by-turn, and a lot of cars you can buy the navigation system in it. We were renting a car a few weeks ago, traveling in another part of the country, and I have a cell phone that's got it's one of those smartphones, and so I had the Google ability for Google to give me turn by turn directions. And so, you know, there's no reason why, as you say, very soon, I mean, any minute now, we're going to be seeing all this incorporated, and it's going to be standard equipment like an AM/FM radio was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I think the other thing that's really interesting is some of the higher-end cars are now coming out with the parallel parking feature where you're not even engaged, and they're also helping drivers change lanes or to alert them to blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the things that's really interesting, Volvo says our technology could be so much better, but we don't want to yet put it in the cars because if we do, we think that the drivers will start paying less attention to the road and start relying too much on this
technology. Now that parallel parking, I hope they design it where it'll actually put the car between the lines so that because the person who doesn't know how to parallel park is also the person who's going to take up two parking spaces, and I don't like those guys.
Yeah, that's right.
So make sure that when you talk to those technology guys, make sure they get them inside the lines. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back with some more predictions from our good buddy Jack Oldrich right after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Robert Cray to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. It's my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and using it to your advantage. And if you smallbusinessadvocate.com, don't forget to check out my newsletter while you're there. Subscribe to that. We'll send it to you on Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Jack Oldrich is our guest, our good friend, and the author of many books, including Jump the Curve. It's all about staying ahead of emerging technologies, which is outstanding. Is that the last book, Jack?
That is the last book.
Yeah, I thought it was. And your book on nanotechnology is still very relevant. I'm seeing stuff like that all the time that remind me of your book that's coming out. Folks, check out whatever Jack has. Jack, how do we find you and how do we find your books?
The easiest way to find me is my website. It's jumpthecurve.net, and I write daily on emerging technologies, and there are links to all my past books and a lot of food for thought on the website.
Check all that out. We're talking about your 2010 technology forecasts and predictions. This next one is something, and we're not going to get to all of them, but I want to go through some of the really cool ones. This next one is something I've been predicting for a long time. You know, that's one thing about being, you know, if you make predictions long enough, Jack, you actually will wind up making them right probably. But I've been predicting for a long time that colleges are going to quit making big physical plant investments in dormitories and new buildings eventually because of distance learning, because of the internet. And your prediction here is about that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, from my perspective, there's actually a bubble going on in education, higher education. I mean, tuition has been going up 10% or more a year, really for the last 20 years, and that's simply not...
And even, I've seen some schools that it's going up again this year.
Yeah, that's right, and I think that that's coming to an end. I mean, I think that certain universities like Harvard and Stanford will always be able to demand a lot, because what you're paying for there is prestige and not necessarily just the education.
Mm-hmm.
But in many of these other state institutions and sort of colleges that are lower ranked are going to face a great deal of financial pressure from online universities. There's a new university that is essentially, what they're doing is they're charging $99 a month for as much education as you can get. So instead of saying, oh, you have to get your degree in 4 years, they're saying if you are self-motivated and you can finish all of this coursework in 18 months, have at it. And so the price of a university education should plummet in the next decade. And there's already, the Phoenix universities and the Kaplan and the others are already doing that. But
wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in some of these trustee meetings when they're talking about, you know, where to go with physical plant? Because, you know, it's kind of hard to name an online course after some president of a college. You know, they need these buildings to put people's names on, don't they?
That's right. Here's one of the problems is that, you know, you talked about trustees. I mean, if you grew up under the old system and you went to a four-year institution and then did other things, your mindset is, well, that's how things are always going to continue. And so, I mean, what I would recommend to universities is start getting some diversity on their trustee board, diversity in terms of people outside the established system, people who understand online education, because it's going to be a shock to their system.
Right. Let's move down and talk about number seven, Jack, because this is something we've talked about on the show quite a bit, and that's the power, the impact, the dynamism, the leverage of cloud computing. Talk to us about this one.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, people forget that we know that we're in the midst of a computer revolution, but because we think that we now have really computers on our cell phones, that it's going to stop there. Well, it's not. These machines are going to continue to get more powerful, and in the next decade, they're going to get 1,000 times more powerful.
And they're going to be infinitely more available to regular folks like small business owners.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things, I don't say this in this particular prediction, but I have a couple of pieces talking about how small and medium-sized businesses can harness the power of these supercomputers. And let me just give you two quick examples. These aren't necessarily small businesses, but Ping, the golf club manufacturer, has used supercomputers, which they rented for about $1,000 to fundamentally redesign their golf clubs using the powerful supercomputers. Another company, a medium-sized business that does a lot of deliveries, has used supercomputer power to sort of reconfigure and find the smartest way to make their deliveries. And what they've done is they've saved $1.2 million in fuel and labor costs alone just by doing what they'd always
and
done.
And see what's going to happen for small businesses. Some smart person is going to take that application and incrementalize it to a small business's application, and that's going to increase the power for small businesses to process information and to be able to find solutions. And this is, folks, this is happening even as we speak, because I've done some work with IBM on their cloud computing program, Jack, and they are they're committing billions of dollars, IBM is, to global cloud computing.
They really are, and the thing that's so interesting is we're now collecting so much data that we can now take all of that data, put it into these beasts, process that information, start finding some business opportunities that we might have otherwise missed.
Absolutely, really, and every bit of what we're talking about, in my opinion, Jack, is making small business owners, going to give them more processing power, which, if they take advantage of it, means you've got a higher level of competitive, competitive level, I should say. Tintail, right back with Jack Aldrich. More predictions after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you on the Small Business Advocate Show. Jack Aldrich is our guest, our good friend. That's jumpthecurve.com. No, I'm sorry, jumpthecurve.net, right, Jack?
Yes.
Jumpthecurve.net. Now, can they find your 20 technology forecasts and predictions there?
Yeah, they can. Yep. And like you, they can also follow me on Twitter at jumpthecurve/Twitter.
All right. So check that out, folks, twitter.com/jumpthecurve. And we're talking about these technologies, that the forecast for these technologies. Jack, I want to move over and talk about number 17, the cost of sequencing an individual's genome will drop to less than $1,000. Now, why should we care about that?
Well, we should care about that. Well, first, just 3 years ago,
remind us what a genome is, Jack.
A genome is essentially telling us the genetic information that is inside us, but essentially, that information is important because how we react to various drugs is based on that genetic information. So as we have more genetic information about ourselves, that it's going to tell you, if you have a particular cancer, which drug is or isn't going to work on you. Right now, if you have heart disease and you're on the blood-thinning drug warfarin, we already know, based on your genetic information, whether you should or shouldn't take that. But as we get more and more of this information, it's going to fundamentally change healthcare,
and the way we live our lives, what we can expect out of our lives, it'll help small business owners to be healthier and more effective and have more energy. I mean, there's so many levels. This thing, we can't even anticipate. We can't even imagine what we're going to learn from this genome research.
Yeah, what's exciting from a small business perspective is its ability to help prevent disease and thus lower healthcare costs
exactly.
on the preventative side. But one of my predictions is this information is going to come so fast and furious that it's going to overwhelm medical professionals. So I think a lot of this genomic information is going to essentially find its way onto the web and various social networking sites so that individuals who have the same genetic makeup as you are essentially going to become your peers and help you manage all of this information.
What do you think the genome progress, the breakthroughs that we're going to have, what do you think that's going to, kind of an impact is that going to have on the overall healthcare regime that we have, maybe, you know, especially the one that's being proposed right now in Washington?
Well, I think the big thing is it's going to fundamentally disrupt the sort of the pharmaceutical side of the equation.
Right.
Right now, all of those drugs are based on essentially trying to one drug for the entire population.
Right, right.
And the genetic revolution is going to say we're going to have to find tailor-made drugs for Jim and Jack specifically.
Right.
And so
you think there'd be more boutique companies or more boutique applications?
More boutique applications.
Yeah.
And one of the unfortunate things is that might drive up healthcare costs in the beginning, but the cost of discovering and manufacturing these drugs in the long term should come down.
Will the genome studies foster more homeopathic treatment, do you think? Seems to me like it might.
I think it will, absolutely.
And that will definitely, then that's preventative, not curative.
Right.
So from a preventative standpoint, that will affect the pharma industry.
That will. I mean, I think that's the long-term opportunity. One of the problems, the paradigm that has to shift is what we do now is we wait until the disease strikes and then
mm-hmm.
we attempt to
cure it.
That's completely
mm-hmm.
backwards. We should prevent these diseases.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm doing some homeopathic stuff right now myself that I'm having good results from it. So I'm looking forward to the time when we all know more about our physical and genetic makeup so we can predict a little bit and do a better job. Jack, quickly, the rapid prototype for manufacturing. I've got about a half a minute.
Okay, rapid prototype manufacturing, it's the physical printing of objects. And the price of this equipment, 2 years ago, $100,000 for this machinery, so not very small business friendly. Today, the cost has plummeted down to less than $5,000.
Wow.
So you're going to start being able to print out various objects, sort of repair or pieces of equipment,
mm-hmm.
and it could change the manufacturing paradigm sooner than most people expect.
And that's something you'll continue to report to us on.
Absolutely.
In the future. We'll keep up with that. Hey, Jack, thanks for being here. Thanks for your report, and we'll see you next time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jack.
Great job. Jack Oldrich, ladies and gentlemen. We always get smarter when Jack joins us. He'll be back again real soon, I promise. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I want to thank you, small business owners, for all that you do. God bless you. And especially, I want to thank all of our men and women in uniform around the world, standing a post, often in harm's way, on our behalf. God bless you. God be with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.